Welcome to the Manufacturing the Future podcast, the show designed to help you future-proof your manufacturing operations. Each episode features interviews with innovative manufacturing leaders and subject matter experts who share their insights and best practices about the technology that can empower you to streamline operations, prepare your organization for what lies ahead, and continue to keep our world turning. I'm your host, Carrie Jordan, Vice President of Product Management at Epicor. Now, for today's episode.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for listening. Welcome to our show where we're talking with the manufacturing leaders who are transforming their organizations for the future of this incredible industry. Today, I'm very happy to be speaking with Mark Weinman, the owner and president of VEM, which is a global medical device manufacturing company. They have 5 manufacturing facilities across Asia, Europe, and Central America. VEM offers a full range of services, including prototyping, production mold making, injection molding, component sourcing, testing, packaging, and much more. We're going to get into all of it. This will be interesting. Global medical device manufacturers like VEM really face uniquely complex regulatory challenges, manufacturing challenges, while at the same time, you know, really have to ensure the highest in quality standards. So I'm very curious to see where this conversation goes. Mark, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Gary. Thanks for having me.
We're excited to learn more from you. But as we get started, let's get to know you and your company, of course. Can you please tell us about yourself and how VEM got started?
Okay, it's a little bit longer story and a quite interesting one, and especially nothing that was really planned. So I'm originally from Germany. And grew up in Germany, did the German army service mandatory, went to the German university, and then had to make a decision, is my career more in Germany or do I want to see the world? So I was lucky to get a job offer for 2 years in France. And then everybody was talking about the tiger states in Asia. So I said, maybe that's something I should try. And got a 1-year job in Hong Kong in an electronics company. Did that and bought a ticket to California. And in the airport, I met one of my old customers. And he was able in 1998 to convince me to get my luggage back from the plane and open VEM with him together in Hong Kong. So we started as an electronics company. We did printed circuit boards assembly and then had the first German customer who asked us to make a plastic housing around our printed circuit board. And that's when we started to get a little bit into tool making and plastics. And for the first 3 years in my career in Hong Kong, we were a trading company. And all the horror stories you hear about sourcing molds from China happened to me. And after 3 years, I said, I cannot handle that anymore. Either I stop it or do it myself. And luckily, my project managers at that time from Shenzhen, they convinced me to open VEM tooling in Shenzhen. So we started as a pretty small tool shop, but if you do things right and if you focus on quality and on-time delivery and don't take the shortcuts, then you can be relatively quickly, relatively successful. So that happened to us. We were, of course, at the right time, at the right place in China, and things started growing. And then we had one of our big customers ask us to open a second factory outside China. So we picked Thailand, one of those things you learn in university. You put a matrix up and populate it and give it percentages, and Thailand showed up on top. That one wasn't so successful. Thailand is a beautiful country, very good for manufacturing, but not so much for mold making. So we kind of had to change a little bit the business strategy and went more into medical molding, and turned out to be the right thing. We also have a third shop in India. The reason was that even before Donald Trump as a US president, I could see there might be some frictions between China and the US. So after the not so successful tooling trip to Thailand, I saw that India probably would be the right place to go. So we have a tool shop in India now since 2016. And I have to say, it works very well. A lot of things are happening down there. It's probably the biggest growth economy for the next 10, 20 years, regardless what happens in the rest of the world. And then when Trump started the trade war with his friends or allies in Europe, I realized that probably the globalization will come to a halt and that localization is going to be the new keyword, or what the Americans call it right now, reshoring or nearshoring. So we got kind of forced to open two more shops, one in Mexico to be close to the US and one in Eastern Europe. We picked Bulgaria, and all of those shops are running pretty well so far. So that's in a nutshell how we ended up with five manufacturing sites in three continents.
Okay, so that's a pretty incredible story of growth internationally, expanding across in a variety of different regions. And you really had to deal with, you know, geopolitical challenges, industry changes, economic changes. And I feel like that is part of the world economy facing this. But you really took it head on, you know, with the different locations and moving your business around. Thank you for that history as to how you ended up with the five locations. So what types of services are you focusing on now? Is it really the mold making? And what types of customers are you serving?
So we started out as a tool shop, and we basically only focused the first 10, 15 years of our career on mass production molds, mainly class 101. Biggest industry at that time was automotive. But then as time evolves, we got the attention of a few other industries. We got the first inquiries from the medical sector and from the aerospace sector. So we try to be a little bit more diverse and not only focus on one industry. So now, right now, it is medical, aerospace, automotive, and consumer plastics. And we also realized that some customers need prototype molds. So that's when we got the first introduction into a new technology that came up in the last couple of years, steel printing. And we now can offer prototype molds in about 2 to 3 weeks out of steel and with original plastic materials. But what also happened is that we had more and more of our customers tell us, we are happy with your molds. Why don't you run us a few pieces? So this is why we got into some areas of manufacturing. And we do now about 50% tool making and 50% parts production. Big focus on medical. And in Thailand, we actually have two clean rooms, a class 7 and a class 8 clean room.
Okay, interesting. You know, and you started to talk a little bit about there regarding new technologies and how your organization's taking advantage of them. So on this show, we really like to explore the power of new technologies in manufacturing and even digital technologies. So can you tell us more about the technology that you've chosen to use at VEM?
So we have three focus points where we try to, I don't want to call us a leader, but where we try to stay ahead and not be only a follower. So as you know, tool making has three main areas. One is the mold design. You have to design all the components. And a plastic injection mold can have up to a few hundred individual components who all have to fit together and sometimes will move against each other or together with each other. So you need to design that with the right tolerances in the right time with the right components. So we are developing an in-house mold design software that helps us to automate that. There are two main factors behind it. Number one, we want to reduce the time so we don't waste the time of our engineers and designers. And the second thing is we want to reduce mistakes, because if you standardize it, your software normally does not make mistakes if it's programmed right. There's the one area where we're using pretty advanced technology in terms of software. The second area is the manufacturing area. So we have a new technology in the market, steel printing. So everybody knows about plastic printing. 3D plastic printing has been around for quite some time, but 3D steel printing is a very new thing. So we have already two 3D steel printers in our facilities, and that helps us a lot to produce metal parts in a faster time and with less wastage and with the potential to make a special cooling line inside and to have a special geometry, which in the conventional way you could not do in the past. So that is something which really excites us and where we see a big future and where we will for sure add a few more of those steel printers to our machine list. And the third thing, what's happening in the market is everybody wants to know exactly what was manufactured. So you have a measurement after you made those plastic parts. And we have in all of our facilities now laser scanners. So you put basically your plastic part, whatever it is, could be a medical part, could be an automotive part. You put it on a little table and you have a laser scanner who takes a lot of pictures of it. And then the software gives you the 3D model, the real 3D models with the dimensions. So that one helps us to improve our quality. And of course, it also helps us to reduce our efficiency, and we don't need any paper anymore.
Wow. So you've even reduced paper. So why have you been focusing on these three areas? Were you driven by your customers? Is this a mission of your organization to focus here? Why these three?
Yeah, that's probably the pressure in the market that you have to always be better, faster, and cheaper. And now, of course, the fourth component is coming, that you have to be environmentally friendly. Yes. And we try to follow that. And we analyzed every process. And this is how we found out where we can improve. So I have a small team in our group who basically always looks for new technologies and how we can improve the processes in our factory, how we can eliminate waste. Because in the end, you know, we talk about paper, but paper is a small part. We also want to try to eliminate steel waste. Because if you make a part and you always start with a block in the conventional way, with steel printing, you only have powder. So you have basically no waste, because the powder you don't print, you just take it for the next product.
Wow.
And you actually use less energy and less time. And those are also very, very important points for us.
Yes, that's interesting. So the 3D steel printing, I bet a lot of our listeners want to learn more about that. How long have you been using the 3D steel printing?
So we have that running for about 1.5 years now. And I have to say, I'm very impressed. I mean, I don't operate the machine myself, but I get weekly reports. And I'm very impressed of the quality, what comes out. And the feedback from our customers is also very positive. We have, by the way, if you go on YouTube and look in for VEM 3D steel printing, we have a 2-minute video there for everybody to see how the machine works and how it functions.
Ooh, okay. I encourage everybody to do that. We'll include a link in the show notes as well. So it sounds like you have some pretty clear measures of success that you laid out for your team or for your investments in these technologies, because you've been talking about reducing time, reducing mistakes, less waste, getting to market faster, becoming more environmentally friendly. Are you tracking these in any sort of structured way? You mentioned you get reports. Do you have standard reports that you, as the president and the owner, that you review on a regular basis from your team?
Yes, we have two type of softwares which generate the reports. We have one is more an ERP system, which basically tracks all the expenses, which tracks all the times and everything. And the second software we have is called Plan Tool. It's especially for tool making and injection molding. And those are the two software systems which generate report, especially for cost, for waste, and for the timeline. So yes, we're looking into this. And then, of course, we're always having reviews afterwards and see, hey, how can we do things a little bit better? How can we do things a little bit faster? There is not the big steps we're doing, but, you know, a little here, a little there. And especially with those little steps, you get much more awareness and, I have to say, support from your staff and from your colleagues, because they see, hey, we're really trying to do this. I think one of the biggest positive feedbacks I got lately when we started putting the first solar panels on our factory. So all the factory buildings we own, we want to also have solar to be independent from this power supply. So yes, we're tracking all of this and we're working together, reviewing it. And we hope to be every time we do it a little bit better.
Do you have specific ways in which you do this across all of your facilities, or are each of the facilities kind of running independently?
No, they all run in the same way with the same software, with the same management system.
Wow.
Because they all work together.
Mm-hmm.
So we generate actually some synergies effects on that. I'll give you one example. We have mold designs done in India and in Europe. So we can actually use the software licenses 24/7, and the guys can play the ball back and forth and work 24/7 on a project without having to do any overtime, just by being in different time zones and different locations.
Wow.
Also, our tool shops make then the molds for our injection shops. So there has to be a lot of communication internally. We have, and that's one thing actually I'm very proud of, we have 15 different nationalities on our payrolls. And it's a little bit challenging because there are different people, different religion, different races, different ideas. But it makes it also very interesting because every country and every culture has their own good things. So if you try to combine them and pass them on, it helps everybody. Everybody can benefit from that.
We're seeing that across the board, right? When you have that diversity of thought and bringing in different types of team members, companies can really tap into new innovation. They can, you know, create new opportunities for themselves, for their customers, for their employees. That's wonderful. 15 nationalities.
Absolutely. I fully agree with that. There is a little bit, once in a while, also you have culture clashes, but
sure, yes.
That's then the challenge of the management to keep them all together. The only disadvantage for me is I only found out there is not one common holiday in this world. So
But
bad luck.
Really? Huh. I feel like I'm going to have to look this up. There should be at least one, right?
There is none.
Wow. Okay, so when you are thinking about what's next, I mean, your organization is already very clearly on the cutting edge. You're really leading the way in many, many areas, especially the 3D steel printing. That's interesting. I'm looking forward to that video. What is next? What is next for VEM in terms of maybe new technologies that you have been evaluating that you might be interested in? Maybe you haven't started to look at it, you know, in a very serious way, but it's perked your interest. What are you excited about?
I think that the what is next in the short term for us is to combine those three technologies to work more together, to be more dependent on each other, and to be more connected to each other. You need a good software for the design. You need the steel printing for creating the parts, and you need the measurement technology, and then that can feed back into a loop. I think that's where we're only at the beginning right now. And that there will be a lot of more interactions and connectivity between those three areas. I think that is the short-term thing for the next couple of years to really drive efficiency and also drive speed.
Interesting. So automation, I'm thinking, potentially workflow, where something happens in one system, it triggers an event in another. Or are you thinking more about information sharing so you could see the same information across a variety of systems?
It's more the first one, that you basically start designing something, and while you design it, you basically already in parallel make the preparations to produce it and be clear how you measure it. And then from the measurement, from your results, you feed back into the design. I think this loop will really accelerate mold making, and it will help to get a better product in a faster time. How fast that is coming, I'm not sure, but I think we're only at the beginning. And I think that tool making, which has been traditionally a very manual industry, will become a much more automated and sophisticated industry.
It's exciting. So for other manufacturing leaders who are listening in, who also want to take their technology to the next level, their business to the next level, what advice would you share?
The first advice is don't accept a no. When I started and I talked to my guys, the first thing, no, we know already what we're doing. We're already good. Why should we do this? And you need to kind of be very insistent and pushy. And I remember that with my factory manager in China, in the beginning, he didn't want to have a steel printer. Now he's constantly pushing when he's got the second one. Wow. So yes. The first thing is, if you are the leader, you really have to take some risks. You have to really go and say, hey, if you're convinced of something, do it, even if you have resistance in the beginning, and try to get your guys on your side. You don't always have to win every argument, but you need to make sure that you keep on moving forward. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, it's new technology. There is no perfect. You have to accept mistakes. You have to accept failure. For example, when we started printing, we printed everything in solid. And then I had to tell my guys, why don't you just try to reduce 10% of the material? Okay, we do this. Now we're at 20-25% material savings already, because you don't print something solid. You can print some beehives or some other structures inside, which still keeps it stable, but you reduce material, you reduce time and energy. So the key is, we screwed up a few times and we had some failures and mistakes. You have to encourage your team to make those mistakes, learn from them and move forward. Things go wrong. Everybody makes mistakes. Don't punish the guys. Encourage them to learn with it. Those are probably the two things what I would have to tell the guys who want to go the next level in a technology world, to just follow this and go with it.
Excellent advice. Excellent. Yes. I mean, you have to empower your teams. If you are beating them down over mistakes, you're going to discourage innovation and they're not going to want to be on your team any longer. So that's great advice. Okay, well, that was such a great conversation. As we wrap up, for anyone who wants to learn more about VEM or connect with you, where can they find you?
Well, first of all, we have our webpage, vem-tooling.com and vem-medical.com. And I'm pretty easily available on LinkedIn. So I'm always open for interesting discussions, and especially about new technologies. For me, the most important thing is to learn new things. So if there are new things in the market, if my staff or my team have new ideas, I'm always interested in seeing a dev version. And if it doesn't work, no big drama. We can always learn from something that doesn't work as well.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much, Mark. I really appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks, Gary. All the best to you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you to my guest, Mark Weinman, the owner and president of VEM. And to everyone listening, thank you so much for being a part of the future of manufacturing.
Thank you for listening to Manufacturing the Future, brought to you by Epicor. For the latest episodes, search for the show on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure to subscribe to get notified when a new episode is released. To learn more about Epicor, visit epicor.com.